Right. And it's also seen, so one of the things that I came across is that it was defined as a social, oh, now I'm forgetting the word because I didn't write it down, but it was a social something emotion, whereas comparison to colors, it's no longer a primary color. Because your primary colors are like,
Red, yellow, blue.
yep, there you go, red, yellow, blue.
I learned
And
that when
those are pretty
talking.
obvious. And your primary emotions are probably gonna be like happy, sad, right? And then there's probably a few more in there, but the point I'm getting at is then you get these complex emotions, whereas offended doesn't really feel like it's not necessarily sad
Yeah,
and
no, you're
it's
absolutely right.
not
We'd all have
necessarily
defended different,
disappointed. Right.
right? Because I could be angry. I could be hurt. And all that could be offensive, right? I could be angry, sad, hurt, frustrated, let down. Crap, we could come up with hundreds of ways probably to describe it. So I like that. That's a really good point, Ash, and a way to think of that is.
Welcome to Adulting Decrypted, the show where we break down the complex code of common conundrums into logical living in an effort to decrypt the code we call adulting. We are your hosts.
I'm Gideon, and I like to ride BMX.
I'm Gene, and I enjoy theater.
I'm Roscoe, the dad. I enjoy spending time outside.
My name's Ashton, and I am a percussion major at the University of Utah.
And I'm today's host. Welcome. Guys, we are back at the woodshed, for real, for official.
Yee!
not the wood cabin.
Yeah, no, the actual woodshed. So if you can hear, it's hot in here again. So for our audience, if you can't tell, it's warm again. So we're gonna be enjoying the woodshed, but it's nice to be back, I think. So today's conversation. Is purely meant to be a conversation starter. As always, I'm going to do a definition, but it's just long and sought out. I know a lot of times our conversations have a point, so to say, like something that we're driving towards. And really, I just wanted to make this one today a real, true conversation, bouncing ideas back and forth on this particular topic. Because I feel like, in a sense, now it's a bit taboo, and it's one of those things that gets thrown around a lot that we've haven't quite appreciated its meaning or a little bit more about it. So what I wanted to talk about today was being offended. And so when you look at the world around us, it's a constant stream of the terms either, oh, you know, everyone gets offended too easily. You hear terms like snowflakes and all these other sorts of things that get thrown around on social media, on the news, of people blaming each other for how they feel. So I have some research that I did here that I'm going to share. But before I get into that, I guess initial thoughts on being offended. What does it mean to you?
I'm probably going to say something a little bit more controversial than I normally do. But I think being offended is more of a child mindset. I know I still get offended as well, but like, I mean, it's more of a child mindset because you're going like, I'm basing my feeling off of something that you said, whether it was supposed to be attacking towards me or not. Like, if you enjoy comedy, I'm pretty sure you're less likely to get offended by at least those certain topics.
So it's kind of, it's almost childish to take offense.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I still do it, but.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, I want this to be an open conversation because I just want to talk about the word offense and what it means in our culture, so that's totally cool.
Well, I mean, offended is an interesting one because, you know, if you think about it, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right, but that could be no further from the truth, right? So if somebody says something offensive, vulgar, derogatory, or something like that, then it is offensive, right? Now, I think the next step is, am I personally offended or do I take it personally? Maybe that line is between going, hey, it doesn't really matter or it does. A lot of it has to come back to intent. You know, do I intend to hurt your feelings? Am I attacking you personally? Sometimes, you know, the adage is look, I don't care enough about what you think anyway, so I'm not going to be offended. I'm just going to let it go because you don't matter that much to me. And that would be a great, maybe a great feeling to have or a great sentiment, but we've got up and walked out of movies because we're offended, right? We find it offensive or vulgar or something that doesn't jive with me, who I am. But then do I hold it personally? Am I mad at that person? Not really. I don't give it the time of the day. I'm like, cool, I'm out. Just my choice. Right. So maybe that's where you're going, is if you take it personal. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm mainly going like, if it like personally like angers you, or you feel like you're getting personally attacked because of maybe a more broad thing, or yeah.
I think offense is a feeling, and feelings are complicated. So everybody has their own feelings and offense, and it's what we do based on those feelings that matters more than that we feel those feelings.
Hmm. So offense is a feeling like any other feeling, and how we treat it is the important part, or?
I think so, yeah.
Interesting. You know, I like all the different thoughts, because they're all fairly different perspectives, which is really quite interesting. Here's just a few things that I researched that I'll read real quick, and then we can talk about them once I get. In social psychology research, the feeling of offense has been viewed so far as typically triggered by a blow to a person's honor, hence to their public face. Yet this painful emotion, beside nicking the reputation and self-concept of the offended person, is often felt also in interpersonal, like relationships between people. Interpersonal relationships that it finally may seriously disrupt. We take offense at what was meant or implied rather than what was actually said, very generally, if you think about it. One of the examples it gave in the article that I was reading, is someone said, "Were you implying that I'm not a good cook when you said pass the salt?" So an individual at the side of the table is like, "Hey, can you pass the salt?" And the cook, even whether or not the person asking for the salt meant that to be offensive, the cook was like, "Hey, what the heck?" You know? And so offense is often coming from an implied state.
I feel like sometimes it's you hear what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we say that like with the dog. It's like, "Oh, no, don't eat the food." He's like, "Yes, eat the food." Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of sort of that thing.
It's like that one internet video where this guy is like, "Dogs don't understand what you're saying. You know, like, you people are great, but they really don't understand." He goes, "They understand tone of voice." And so he starts like yelling at his dog the most positive things. He's like, "You're an amazing puppy and I love you so much." And he's like angry face and pointing, and the dog's like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what I did." And then he turns around and he's like, "You're just a crappy little dog. I hate you. You're awful." And the dog's like, "Yay, he loves me again." So you know, tone of voice.
That's not quite where I was going. Cool.
But it's like the dog's perception of what was happening there. It had nothing to do with what the owner was actually saying.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Where were you going, Gideon? Maybe I'm confused on your statement.
You hear what you want to hear.
Gotcha. So it's just a perception, or we're telling ourselves our own story, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Hello. If you're listening to this right now, that means you're currently listening to an episode of Adulting Decrypted. And let me just say thank you. My name's Ashton, one of the hosts of Adulting Decrypted, and I wanted to steal a quick second of your time to do a shameless little plug. If you've listened to our podcast for any sort of time, you know that we talk about a bunch of different stuff all about adulting, because our goal is to help individuals in this task we call adulting. Now, we have just revamped the way that we do this. If you go to adultingdecrypted.com, you can see all of our episodes sorted out by category. We've sorted it into financial, practical, emotional, social, and things just for fun. So, if any of those categories are of particular interest to you right now, you can go onto the website, look through there, and see all of our episodes that correlate with that specific thing. This website's completely free to use. It's just another tool for our listeners to find things that are more important to them now. So, for example, if I was looking at it, I'd scroll through and say, "Hey, you know what? I want to see what the Adulting Decrypted crew has talked about socially." Well, one of our first episodes, season 1, episode 3, "How Do I Talk to People?"
That's where we talked about all about it. Talk to people. So if that's something you want right now, you can go find that right now. Also in this one, season 3, episode 15, The Power of a Humble Mediator, where we talk to one of my old bosses about his business as a mayor, also as a small theater owner. Some really cool stuff. So if you're looking for a better way to organize through all your self-help podcasts, try adultingdecrypted.com and enjoy the rest of the episode.
Then we use what the other people say, whether they mean it or not, like,
gotcha,
toward so, that vision.
Gotcha. So Ashna, I guess I'm not following that statement of offense, because that's only part of the word, isn't it? It's like unintended consequences, like Gideon saying, and then there's other stuff that's truly offensive, right? So, you know, because past assault, yes, you could read that 100 different ways.
Sure.
But if I say, you know, your mother's a dog, there's really not any other way to take that, you know, and there's the difference on that. I think when you're talking about like the news outlets calling people snowflakes, we're doing that in a big general, you know, get over yourselves.
So the example there was, like I said, generally, sometimes it happens in an indirect context and sometimes it happens in a direct context. So it definitely happens in both ways.
Gotcha.
It'd be a big lie to say that it didn't. So that's a good clarification. This next thing kind of jumps on that track a bit more. We take offense, and this is according to this research study. I couldn't really find direct numbers and figures, but this article was just written about, you know, research that was done. But it says, we take offense when we feel like someone has made a remark that goes outside the context of our relationship. And so, and I expanded that a bit, and I was like, this is probably why friends can sound rude to each other. They can make remarks that they, as funny, because the context of their relationship might allow that to happen. And I know, at least, maybe that's not true for a lot of friend groups. I know it is true for my drumline friend groups. Because we can be like, man, you're a trash drummer. You're awful. And we can laugh and it's hilarious. Like, we even started a joke with each other and we call it drumline animosity. Because one day our drumline instructor came up and he was like, you know, sometimes good snare lines, they just hate each other. You know, they just want always. And his point was, they're always trying to like push each other to new levels. So they're always trying to be the best. And then we kind of took it as a, we took it seriously, but then we also made a joke out of it, like drumline animosity, and we're constantly pulling pranks and being like, man, those, whatever you just played was garbage and something. And that, in that relationship is okay. But if I were to walk up to another person at drums and come up and say, man, your, you know, flam fives are absolute garbage, that's incredibly offensive. Even though you guys don't know what flam fives are, you know, you can be very rude. You can say the same thing to two different people. One is your friend and one is not, and it can be taken two completely different ways. So what I'm getting at is the context of a relationship also can determine whether or not something is offensive.
You know, the only word of caution there is you take it from a drumline perspective of pushing each other, because that sounds like what the goal or the intent is to make everybody better.
Yeah.
To being personal, you know, such as, you know, hey, you have a unibrow, or why are you so fat, or, you know, right. What I mean?
Yeah.
Can you not walk? You're an idiot. You know,
mm-hmm.
Once again, I think to Gene's earlier point is that individual you're saying that to gets to choose whether they're offended or not.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that just because someone's in your friend group, there's no longer a line for offense.
Right.
I'm saying that there is certain accepted social norms within different groups in your society. So, like, in drumline, I could probably say something like that, where if I was at work, I probably wouldn't try and err towards those sorts of jokes. Unless I knew the person I was talking to, I could have that sort of relationship.
But you've got to be aware of the audience that, with what we've got now going on as a society as a whole,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be aware of who else is in that room and who else is hearing that in that context.
For sure.
Because you might be able to say something to me directly that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's funny, haha. But if I'm around my peers...
Or it's just simply not offensive.
Right, or I laugh about it because it's just funny. But if I'm around different peers in a different situation, that could be very offensive, right? It's like, hey, that's not okay to say in front of...
These individuals.
Yeah, this group, right? So totally. Excuse me. I have a hard time with... Because I'm I'm just as guilty as being meaning, teasing. But as I'm getting older and more mature, I realize that there's an element of where we're still hurting feelings. Going back to my original statement of saying, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me, but they do cut.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you remember those things, so...
Right, and we're on the same page there, too. Again, as a conversation mindset, not a trying to prove anyone wrong, but, like, one of my favorite quotes is, the axe forgets, but the tree always remembers. Just meaning that an axe can go chop down a forest that won't remember where the trees are that it cut, but all those trees have died, you know? So this...
Or even left a mark.
Right.
Right? So... Right. To your point, you know, you didn't chop down the tree, but you carved in a tree or hit a tree or, you know, whatever. You're long gone and off doing other stuff, but that tree has that scar forever.
Offense comes from when someone says a remark outside the context of our relationship. So what I wanted to explain next was that there's three different kind of recognized groups of expectations that can help us kind of see where our relationships are based and where offense may or may not come from. So... The first expectation is the foreseeability expectation. Defining that, it means we expect others to predict the potentially negative impact that their words may have on us. And this is commonly an expectation that's reserved to close family and friends, because we assume that they know us well enough to say things that won't hurt us. So we are looking to foresee into the future. We're saying, I can trust being with this person because I know that they're not going to say something. Now, how say something that offends me, and how that feeds into offense is that expectation. When that expectation is breached, that's when an offense may take place. Because, you know, as family, we all know each other's personal weaknesses fairly well. You know, more well than if you just met someone on the street. And so, but there... As part of that familial bond, there's a trust there saying, hey, you know what, those are the lines that we know we won't cross for each other. But when they do get crossed, that's when offense takes place. Or we even perceive that they get crossed. Thoughts on that? Does it make sense? I feel like I haven't explained it well.
I understand it. But what to say it differently, but still saying the same thing, if I'm understanding it correctly, is relationships have boundaries, and when a boundary is perceived to be crossed, it could also lead to offense.
Intentionally or unintentionally, like Dad was saying earlier.
I like the family example, but here's where it gets weird, right? I have a brother who, when he was a kid, he stormed out of the room one time. He was in, I don't know, 7th or 8th grade. Mom and Dad said, hey, go take a shower. And he stomps his feet and goes, I'm the only one that ever has to take a shower. You know, and we all sat there and we thought that was the funniest thing, because we're all sitting around going, wait, we all took a shower this morning. What are you talking about? You're not the only one that takes a shower. We all take showers. You know, he's got a sword. We've all got swords. Okay, so we think it's pretty funny. And so we, in that family bond, we think, hey, this is something funny to tease him about, you know, because we all thought it was funny. Right. It took him a couple years to say, guys, that hurts my feelings. Yeah. So... Is he taking offense because it hurts his feelings?
I mean, he thinks he is.
Well, he's offended, right? Yeah. Or is he just hurt feelings? I don't know where the difference is on that. But he has a right to stand up for himself and say, guys, that bugs me when you say that.
Absolutely.
It's just like if we were to call somebody big man and they're like, wait, that hurts my feelings. It makes me think you're calling me fat. You know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever hurts your feelings. So he has... We, in that social context, should stand up and say, hey, just so we're clear, that does hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward 30 years, we could say it again in a family setting, and it's funny, you know. But that's why we got to be careful. Even though we're close as a family, you know, you could lose long-term relationships because of that. So, yeah, but I mean, it comes back to what Gene's saying, where he's going, look, some of that holding on to that grudge or that offense is shame on you as the one who got offended, right? Because you should be able to say, hey, that hurts my feelings. Now, if that person chooses to keep doing it, then what should you do?
I think you should break off that relationship because you don't need it in your life.
Right, right. You separate from that. And whether that's truly saying, hey, Gene, you and I are not going to talk anymore. Or if it's Gene calls me up and says, yeah, I'd rather not spend time with you. Now, ideally, you would tell the person how they hurt their feelings so that you could then move past it, right? Because to your point, we didn't do it intentionally to hurt his feelings. That mm-hmm. was never the intent. But the feeling was there. And I think there's situations in our own family, you know, this group, that we think, oh, that's kind of funny. But we got to be careful.
Absolutely.
Right? So it goes back to what I used to tell you guys. Hey, if it's funny to me, it's still funny. And then I watched you picking on your brother, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, Dad, it's funny to me. It's still funny. I'm like, oh, hold on.
Dang it.
I'm teaching you the wrong lesson here. That's not the intent.
Right.
So... But you're right. I still think that social contract's broken, but the hard part is not both parties saw it as broken.
For sure. And I guess so. Yeah. And I now understand what I didn't explain clearly. These expectations that I'm going through are the psychological reasons why one might get offended. So these expectations inside.
We agree.
So these expectations inside someone is why they may perceive the emotion of offense. And so I'm not saying whether or not like, oh yeah, that's a good reason to be offended or not a good reason. I'm simply stating that these reasons, if we are able to identify them, we may be able to see where someone else took offense from what we said or why we're taking offense from someone else.
It's fair. No, it's a good discussion. And I think this is the hard part of the discussion is to say, hey, Gideon, you know, if we talk about, you know, you taking a BMX bike to go dancing at homecoming, is that offensive? Right? Right. And so we know that that's free game until it's not. And then Gideon's got to, in a free, open, honest discussion, say, hey, guys, that's not funny right now. It might be. You know, it might be in 6 months, a year. Right? Gene, when you spun out of control going up to the canyon and went, did like a 180 and bumped the truck into a guardrail. Is that something I could tease you about that same day?
Probably not during that phone call, but probably after the day, like after I went skiing and stuff. Yeah, probably. Cause even then I'm like, that was stupid. That
you can tell
sense.
My perception on it. Cause I'm already laughing.
Right. So. And, but you know, there's times that we probably need a gut check with each other, right? To go back to what you're saying, you know, is when am I offended? Is that offensive? And I think we make this offended word to be super huge. But I think what Gideon said earlier is that it's a feeling and feelings are complex. Right? And so at one point in time, it's, hey, this is not a big deal. But another point in time, this might be a huge deal because it's just a doggy pile of one more thing.
Yeah.
And so to your point in that social context, there's just a lot of maturity that has to continue to happen to become an adult.
You know, and I wasn't going to get to this till later, but there is a lot of value in understanding that, hey, when a line has been crossed for you personally, it's like you should be able to say to whoever you're talking to, look, that's not cool. And I know for a fact that I've had to be the recipient of the, hey, look, that's not cool comment. You know, because I have a bad habit of, I'm like, oh, everything's fun. Let's just party up. There was like one example I had of in high school, and it's one of those things like you still regret a bit because you're like, dang it. But I had a friend, we were in marching band together, and they were in a weightlifting competition, and then they came, I think it was like in second or third or something. And then there was like an inside joke that I thought spurred that was funny. And so we made a joke out of that. And then they came to me after rehearsal one day. He's like, you know, that really sucks. Like, that really hurts because I tried really hard on that. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. And I felt really, really bad about it. But there was value in that because I respected that. Because at that point, I realized that foreseeability expectation had been breached. And sometimes you won't be able to see that until someone tells you. You'd hope you'd be able to catch it before then, but you probably won't.
So here's my question. Here's the follow-up question. Did you do a public apology for saying that? Or did you curb that next time it came up?
Yes and yes. But it wasn't like a full stand on a podium sort of thing. But it was like when it was in the friend group, because it was approached publicly even. And since I was the main contributor to that situation, it was like, hey, look, you specifically. And I was like, I'm sorry. I had no idea. You know, and then, so there was a public apology, and then there was a private apology, and then it never came back. Right. So.
Well, and that's the that's the awesome side of that is if your friend being mature enough to say, hey, that's not cool, right? Some people don't have that tenacity or that courage, right? I remember the first time at Ford, I was out with my big boy first college job, right? I'd had a lot of jobs and I'd had a lot of experience with people, but I never had somebody that was just flat out vulgar, right? That I had to deal with all the time. You know, the F word every other word, you know, I was pretty impressed with how he could string that and other obscenities together, but yet I was offended, you know? And so I'd always heard, you know, that you can say, hey, insert name here, that kind of language offends me and it's not something that I want to be around. And the guy then turns and goes, well, you can kiss my, and obscenity, obscenity, obscenity. And I'm like, okay, so our social contract is busted, right? But now to Gene's other point, I can choose to be offended and be angry every night at work and be hurt or say, look, I'm not going to put any value in what X individual says because I don't trust him. I don't like him. I don't appreciate him. I don't.
And you can respect that that contract shouldn't mean anything to you because you no longer expect them to appreciate who you are and correct. That value. Yeah.
Correct. So you just discount. To me, it's a total discount of the individual. Mm. Right. And so
in your perception of your relationship.
Well, yeah, because if he can't respect enough to listen to me and because I have good friends that have really vulgar mouths. But when we're talking, they do their best. And they're every once in a while like, sorry, man, I'm just really amped up. You know, a good friend of ours had his dog out. I don't know if you guys remember this. A good friend of mine, we were driving his dogs. On the four-wheeler, he fell off. They ran over their dog, started doing obscenities, and I'm like, he's like, dude, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I get it. It's your excitement, you know. Mm-hmm. I can totally forgive that because that's not intended to be offensive.
Right.
You know, that's just who he is.
That's who you are, yeah.
And so I can still respect you because you try in a normal conversation to respect me.
Right. And I think we've done a really good job of covering that foreseeability expectation. And Dad, you started on the next, or not really the next one on my list, but it's the one of the three. And that is the equity expectation. And it comes from the human innate desire to feel treated equally to those around them. And the actual example that I had here was where a household example where this might fail is when a child feels a sibling is valued more than they are. Now, I wouldn't say in that scenario necessarily that one child felt less value than the other, but one child definitely felt like, hey, my expectations are different than everyone else here. And so that provided them a situation where they're like, hey, now I'm offended because I'm being set to a standard that no one else here has to keep, right? Going back to that shower example. So that's the equity expectation. Any other thoughts on that one? It's a bit more straightforward than the foreseeability expectation, I feel like.
The only hard part for me on that is that we don't want what's equal. Because life's not fair, right? Does anybody disagree that life's not fair?
Nope.
Because if it would be, I would really look like Vin Diesel and not just pretend like I do, right? Life's not really fair.
Well, fair would mean everyone looks the same. Like, if you ever... What book was that? I think it was Fahrenheit... Was it Fahrenheit 451? Or was it something else? No, I think it was another weird passage I read. But, like, in one of my English classes, we read this passage about, like, a utopia where they had everyone wear, like a same like type of ugly mask so that like everyone like was like physically appealing all the same way and like all like the certain dancers like danced the exact same way. No one could be like better in any way, shape or form. And like if someone say like was super smart, they'd like put stuff in their brain and so then they couldn't like think completely.
Right.
So it dulled everyone down. And so it was like that's technically fair. Everyone has the same starting level.
Right. But even within this conversation, bringing it back to the expectations, is like we all desire to feel treated equally, regardless of what equal may or may not actually be. We desire to feel equal. Like, if you were in a high school class and everyone didn't get a homework assignment except for you, that and you got a homework assignment that you had to go home and complete, and your teacher's like, well, if you don't do it, you fail. And you're like, but no one else got it. That's a very blatant break of your equity feeling. Now, there's times where you're like, oh, the teacher shouldn't have graded my paper as harshly because of XYZ. You know, are you offended or are you just kind of bummed out that that didn't pan out how you want? You know? And so, again, this is not saying, you know, true or false, this will or will not cause offense. This is just to promote the psychological reasons as to why or why not, why we may or may not get offended.
Going back to the homework example, that may not be equal, but that could be fair. Because say that one person that didn't come to any of the classes, like came to like, let's say like 5% of the class, and is like, you have to do this homework assignment or I can't give you credit for the class. And everyone else doesn't have that because they put in the work. That's technically now fair, but it's not equal.
Right. And but to go back, I guess, to try and get off the fair and equal, right? My whole premise behind that is we're seeing this a lot right now with social media. This is why I brought up a benign, that this is the whole concept behind it. Right now, if you're anti-vaccination, everything you put up there has a little context that says vaccinations are safe, you know, CDC, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, even if you're with it, though, you get it too, so.
Yeah, but not as much based on what I've observed, right?
Sure.
But that's me. Mm-hmm. Potentially could be offended because I don't feel like they're equal.
Sure.
Does that make sense? And so,
again, there's your perception of equity, expectations, yeah. And you can choose whether or not to be offended because of whether or not you inside yourself feel like something in there is equal.
Right. And so then I go back to, instead of being offended, I go to what Gene says and say, yeah, I'm not going to be childish about it. I really don't care.
There you go.
You know, but with that being said, though, that's why I think offense is so hard, because it goes back to what Gideon said originally. It's a feeling. It's a perception. We hear what we want to hear. We're telling ourselves that internal story.
Right. And it's also seen, so one of the things that I came across is that it was defined as a social, oh, now I'm forgetting the word because I didn't write it down, but it was a social something emotion, whereas comparison to colors, it's no longer a primary color. Because your primary colors are like
red, yellow, blue.
Yep, there you go. Red, yellow, blue.
I learned that.
And those are pretty obvious. And your primary emotions are probably going to be like happy, sad, right? And then there's probably a few more in there, but the point I'm getting at is then you get these complex emotions, whereas offended doesn't really, like, it's not necessarily sad.
Oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We'd all have defended different, right? Because I could be angry. Mm-hmm. I could be hurt. And all that could be offensive, right? I could be angry, sad, hurt, frustrated, let down. You know, crap, we could come up with hundreds of ways probably to describe it. So I like that. That's a really good point, Ash. A way to think of that is, it, yeah.
So really quickly, the last type of expectation that feeds into offense and psychologically our perception is the reciprocal. So it's reciprocal, but with a city at the end. So if anyone can figure out how to say that.
Reciprocity?
Reciprocally?
That sounded good.
Reciprocity?
Yeah.
Reciprocal city, like reciprocity.
Reciprocity. Okay, that works for me. How did you say it, Dad?
I don't know.
Reciprocity. How about you, Gideon? You got one? No, he got nothing. Okay.
Not even going to try.
Oh, you're not going to try? Or you said, oh, let me try.
You can't fail if you don't try.
You can never win if you never try. So these expectations mean that whatever we gift, time, money, gifts, etc., will be returned equally. And so in the simplest of terms, it's like you get someone a gift for their birthday, but then they don't give you a gift for your birthday, and you're like, well, next year I'm not going to get them a gift because they didn't return that. Again, basic example, but it talks about, you know, you expect someone to reciprocate within your relationship. So it takes us back to offense being based off of someone makes a remark or does something that goes outside the context of our relationship. And that's kind of the last one. And I feel like that's probably the simplest of the three. But so, and then there's two or three other things that I learned while reading through this that I liked. That anxiety can lead to being more easily offended. Like if someone struggles with anxiety. And why that is it said people who are easily offended may also struggle with anxiety and a need to control their version of the world. They're used to being in control of things in their lives. As a result, they may find themselves needing to control others' responses as well. I thought that was really interesting, you know, because if you
think that need...
you go.
Do you think that need for control leads to the anxiety and therefore leads to the offense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a circle to me.
Well, I also feel like you could switch the order of those because, like, you have, like, you feel like you need it for control, and so you get offended when people aren't going into that. So then you're having anxiety that you don't have control, and which is offending you. And it's just, right. It's like a weird
circle thing. Yeah. I like where you went with that.
They all lock in together for sure. I just, in my mind, I had never connected anxiety to offense before. I hadn't thought of it, and I thought that was interesting. There you go.
Well, yeah, I probably hadn't defined it, but I know when I get more anxious about a situation or, you know, so going back to your original with the cook example, the chef or whoever cooked everybody dinner might be wondering if their food is good enough, right? They might already be doubting themselves, so they're already anxious. And so when you ask for the salt... Going back to an original statement, we're telling ourselves that story. We're automatically going, oh, they don't like the way I cooked.
We already have this like internal like thing.
You know, dialogue that has already happened. Right. And I think that's true for most. I do that a lot. I would think that's when I'm either offended or bugged. I call it bugged a lot, but probably still offended. Right. Yeah. I mean, on that complex circle of offense.
Sure.
Interesting.
So the next one is... guilt-driven offense. So people who have engaged in offensive behavior sometimes have a tendency to overcompensate with morally correct or righteous sense of rectitude as a way to help lessen the guilt they're feeling. So they overcompensate in a way. They're like, oh, I made this mistake. Now I'm going to about face and change. But they do so in such a way that they lessen the guilt they're feeling, as well as convince everyone else and themselves that they're truly not a bad person. So anytime something goes outside of that, like maybe someone digs up your past, you then take more of an offense to that because you're trying so hard to change who you are, which I think is justified, but it's a source of offense.
I mean, your friend who the weightlifting, where that might have been. Right, where he was trying to hit his goals and he worked so hard to do something, right, that and he didn't hit what he wanted. But that, I mean, that falls in that same vein, doesn't it? Of saying, look, I'm trying to be different, so therefore I'm more offended by it. Or it's more sensitive than it should be.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it guilt, but it is definitely a change. Like, you're trying to make a change and then someone goes against it because you're not feeling... I don't know.
Well, if guilty that you didn't take first place.
Maybe.
But maybe that's there might, yeah, that might be more equity or fair.
I feel like it could go the other way as well. It's like you make a slight change and you think it's going better, then people are trying to make fun of like what you're like going for, and so then it falls you back into it because you're like, well, no, I'm offended because I feel like I'm trying to change for the better, and you're just making fun of that, and so I mean it could work both ways, because change is a very tender moment. That's why nobody likes it. Because it's super uncomfortable. No one likes to be uncomfortable.
And you're very vulnerable, right?
Of course.
You know, this feeds really well into my next thought, if you don't mind me moving on. Go ahead. But so one of the other things that came up is it said, expecting the world to be nice. So, because sometimes people have unrealistic expectations of others. They think everyone should always be nice and are not used to being criticized. And the explanation it gives is that, you know, parents were too kind, were never able to tell their kids, hey, you know what, you did this wrong, fix it, you know, and they're so used to their protective little bubble that when they finally take off the pool floaties, they just drown. few different analogies piled in there. And it was funny, when I was looking at this, I saw a meme, and I don't know if I can really show it to you guys, but I'll explain it. So the top,
because our listeners can't.
The listeners, I'll post it on our social. So there's another reason for you to follow our social media. But so the top picture is a picture of like a chicken egg, and there's a little little mini chick inside of it. And it's got this face of determination on it. It's like, I will peck my way out of here, because they have to like get out of their egg. And then there's a little cartoon drawing of a shark's womb, and on the inside is all the baby sharks, and they're all saying, I will fight to get out of here, because I'm assuming they have to fight to get out and survive in the wild. And then the last picture is a picture of a mother's womb, and the baby is just laying back as if it was on like a sun chair at the beach, and the caption says, push, woman.
I don't know how that goes to be an offended. I'm
push
a little confused.
Well, and the
joke, it's a funny meme, but
right. The joke being that those animals get their strength by fighting out of their birthplace.
Oh, gotcha.
And the kid, in this sense, didn't. Even though we all know that the baby goes through a great amount of trauma getting into the world. But the point being is, you have to go through negative experiences in order to be able to deal with life. And sometimes people get too protected from these negative experiences that when they get faced with reality, they are easily offended, or they feel more oftenly offended because they're not used to being just told realism.
You mean, so like when your mom told you tonight that your marching band hat chin strap looks stupid?
Well, I have been told many things about marching band through my whole life, so I wasn't really that worried about it.
Right. But
maybe, I can laugh. I'm like, yeah, it looks, I chew on it sometimes. It looks ridiculous.
But I guess my point is, there's two sides, right? Because at some point in time, you need to feel safe, secure, protected. And then there's the other times where you need to your point, take off the floaties and go swim. And I think as a parent who has gone through this, it's hard to know when is what, which experience is what you really need, right? Do you need your dad yelling at you from the sideline, run faster, kick harder, you know, or do you need your dad always saying, hey, it's okay, yeah, you suck, but I love you. I mean, no, maybe leave that part out, but you know, I love you, you're okay, yeah, everybody was unfair to you, life wasn't fair, you know what I mean? As a parent, that's one of those things that you're constantly struggling with, is saying, when do you be totally harsh, and when do you say, hey, you're going to be okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
You know, and don't give too much credit for it.
That's an interest. Yeah. From a parent's perspective, like I don't have kids and I'm not planning on it anytime soon, but I've thought about it.
Well, ladies, you're going to have to wait.
I've thought about it, is like, how, like, what is that balance? And I try and perceive that when I'm teaching at high schools and things, like, what's the balance of, sure, hey, you're not doing this properly, and saying, you know what, that's a solid 10 out of 10 effort.
Right. Educators, that's a good point, because of how much time you spend with them. And I think bosses, anybody, drama teachers, you know, they all have that effect to say, how can I get the most out of you? How can I help you be the most that you're going to be? You know, that's, I think, from an intent, that's what it is. But I can't say that every parent does that. You know, some parents are fighting with their own problems and their own issues, and they don't know how to address it.
Well, that was another one on the list. I didn't copy and paste that one over because I didn't know if we were going to have time to get to it or not. But it was, yeah, parents who struggled with getting easily offended, or parents who struggling with enough of their own problems, they didn't have time to teach their kids to overcome their problems because the parents were still in their bubble, their world. And I have actually kind of a story that goes along with this as to the benefit of preventing yourself from becoming offended and appreciating the perspective of the person that's talking to you. The other day I was at an orchestra rehearsal, and every now and again our director, I keep saying our director, Dr. Mike Sammons, he was on our podcast, great episode, go listen to it. But he came in and listened, and he'll sit in the back and he'll listen to us play, and he'll just vigorously type notes on his like Google Drive sheet, and then he'll send it to us to tell us how we did. And if someone not in the studio were to read these notes, they'd be like, oh my goodness, like, yikes. And he even came up to us, he was quite unhappy with how we were playing one of the one of our pieces, and he goes, these things are wrong. He goes, these are part assignments are all wrong. And this year I was the one who was doing part assignments, and so he came by me, he's like, that got messed up huge. That was a massive mistake that should have never have happened. And I was like, yikes. But at that point, I was like, well, there's no point in getting offended and staying here and being upset. So I finished the rep, made sure I played everything else I could do as best as I could. And I walked over to him and I was like, hey, look, I'll accept that I messed up and I know why. And here's the things that I can do better next time. But my question for you is, what can I do better next time? Like, I know some things that I want to change, but can you also tell me what I missed out? Like, what I did wrong? And at that point, he was able to give me a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more insight. And so I guess the point that I'm getting at here is, if you're able to accept that sometimes people are going to be curt with you, that you can learn more from those individuals if it's coming from a helpful direction. Like, if someone's just being rude, they're being rude. But there's very much, like, real, true advice that can come from someone.
Well, you know, Jim Sandals, I told you about this individual I had this exchange with, was an hourly employee at Ford Motor Company. Jim Sandals was my warehouse manager, and he was harsh. I mean, just harsh. And I thought, man, this guy's just mean. And he was particularly mean to this kid from Utah. You know what I mean? That, you know, he'd come up, put his arm around me and say, Mr. Allen, we wear belts here at Ford Motor Company. And I'm like, oh, dude, out of everything that's going on, you're worried about me not wearing a belt. Okay, cool. Because I wore a belt. I just do, you know, 95% of the time when I have jeans on. But I missed one day, and that's what he pointed out. And, you know, he'd point out all these different areas of which I was letting him down. And at first I thought, you know, you just don't like me. And I was choosing not to be offended because, look, I just don't care. I'm going to write you off. But then as I would go to him, just like you did, I'd say, okay, look, here's the three or four things I'm working on. You know, is there anything that you're seeing different than what I am? How can I become better? We were able to get to that relationship. And then he was my biggest advocate to help me get the raise and get compensated up to what other managers were making in this special program that put me ahead of everybody else that got hired with me. Because I now was hitting a higher level than I ever could have without him, right? And so that experience has held with me. We don't know what that other person's intent is all the time, right? We might prejudge an intent because we're like, no, he doesn't want me to get better. He wants me to quit, you know, or he doesn't want me with him on his team. So the more confident we can become in who we are, like you were, you're saying, yeah, you're right. Here's the three things I think I messed up on. Can you give me any more feedback? Versus you just coming and saying, okay, you said I suck. What do you want me to do different? Because I was going through that with one of my young managers. Now he'd just go, yeah, I messed up. What's your feedback? I'm like, I don't know. You tell me how it went. Because I'm tired of vomiting my opinion.
Reading the same, and sometimes it's the same information.
Right. Don't be an ass, Cole. Right? Don't just ask me questions and I give you answers and you don't do anything with it.
Right.
I want you to come up and say, here's my two or three solutions. Here's what I'm seeing.
Right. So, well, and that goes great into a conversation we had a few weeks ago getting along with your boss. Again, listeners, go listen to it. Start a conversation there too. It's great. But finish this first. So this is my last thought. Does anyone else have anything they wanted to share about offense before I kind of close this off here?
One thing I'd like to say, like, not necessarily just receiving offense, like also purposely giving offense, like listening to some of these things, it's like, oh, so these are the triggers I have to hit to purposely offend this person because I don't like them. There was this old saying, I don't remember what it's from, but like, to throw coals at someone, you first have to pick them up.
Yep, I remember telling that to you. It was from my wrestling coach, and at first I didn't get it. He's like, if you pick up a hot coal, you're still going to get burned, right? If you pick up a hot coal to throw at somebody, you still get burned, right? And I'm going, I don't get it. So I'm glad that you at least got the visual, because I was the same age, and it took me to like 23, and I'm like, oh, I see what he was trying to tell me in high school, you know? The last thing I can think of is the sooner we can forgive and get over the offensive and focus on how do I grow me and have the courage to ask what was meant by that statement versus assuming ill intent, the sooner we can focus on ourselves and our own personal growth and not be worried when other people succeed. Because that held me back big time when I was younger. You know, and even today,
someone else's success.
yeah, or be offended by why did they get that or why did they say that or, you know, do they not like me? Instead of just going, look, I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm going to keep pushing what I'm going to keep pushing until somebody's willing to come up to me and say, Roscoe, your parts are falling apart. You need to focus on this is horrible, you know. Then I can at least grow. I'd much rather somebody be direct. So that's nice. My last thoughts.
Well, my closing thoughts is, so again, in as a wrap up, the expectations that lead to offense is foreseeability expectations, reciprocity expectations, and equity expectations. And then preventing offense first, you know, confront and apologize, depending on which side of the conversation you're on. And consider the differences within life experiences, both when accidentally offending someone and potentially taking offense. Consider where everyone's come from. And I want to leave our listeners with a question. So this question's going to happen. You're going to hear our outro. But so it starts with a statement. I feel like the prevalence of offense in our society may be associated to the lack of ability to separate where these relationships start and stop. My question is social media attributing to the blurring of the relationship lines? Is it leading to where we are not able to separate what relationships should and should not be important to us? Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at Adulting Decrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you would like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult. We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.
Like an adult, hey! Dealing with the fence for the very first time. Like an adult,
learning how to not be offended. And how to take it.
And how to trick it, I guess. I don't know.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Adult and Decrypted. We really enjoyed having this week's conversation, and we hope you did as well.
If you ever want to comment on a topic, you can send us a message to our website, adultingdecrypted.com, our email, adultingdecrypted@gmail.com, or through our Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn accounts at Adulting Decrypted.
If you have any topics for the show that you would like us to talk about, or if you are a parent and want us to talk about something your kid should know, send us a message on any of the accounts mentioned. If you would like to be a guest or have an idea for someone you think we should have on our show, feel free to send us an email detailing your thoughts to adultingdecrypted@gmail.com. Adulting is teamwork.
We have merch. If you want to show off your Adulting Decrypted pride, check out our website, adultingdecrypted.com, or our partner website with shop.spreadshirt.com/adulting-decrypted. Lastly, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on our Patreon at Adulting Decrypted. Along with the benefits that come with our Patreon, and trust us, there are some pretty good ones in there, you will not only be helping us continue in the effort to make great content, but you will be part of a community of individuals all trying their best to adult.
We appreciate you listening, enjoying, and leaving your positive reviews. Now, the special song from Gene and Gideon.